Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
A senior Palestinian official has told the United Nations International Court of Justice starvation is here, humanitarian aid is being used as a weapon of war, and warned that Israel is blocking aid from arriving into Gaza. The ICJ today began a week of hearings on Israel's obligations to UN aid agencies. Israel is not participating in the hearings, but the United States will address the court on Wednesday. We're joined on the line now by James Elder, UNICEF spokesperson. And James, you're welcome to the programme this evening. We might start then about that issue of the access of aid into Gaza. What can you tell us about that, and what's the reality on the ground in Gaza at this point?
Yeah, absolutely, Letha, Cyril. I mean, as you say, the International Court of Justice is clearly hearing right now a very powerful testimony, the sort of things that I hear every single day from those people I've met over the last year and a half in Gaza about the scale of that crisis. Now, what is very, very clear is that access to food and water, this is not some, I don't know, discretionary benefit. It's a fundamental human right. It's protected under international humanitarian law. Those laws are being decimated. We have not seen a single drop of water through new electricity, through nutrition, medicines, incubators. Nothing has entered the Gaza Strip in the last 57 days. Apart from bombs. I mean, and the thing is, we can point beyond that being a clear breach of international law, 57 days. It's also important to remember, Sarah, that ceasefire wasn't just a pause in hostilities. It was an actual lifeline. During that ceasefire, an organisation like UNICEF, you know, we massively changed the nutritional status of girls and boys on the back of, yes, nutritional food, but also hospitals, making sure that hospitals had the medicines they needed, repairing those water systems, repairing sanitation systems. Right now, this is the worst of the crisis, and it's very hard to describe a people where that level of despair and despondency is. The first time I talk to people who almost feel broken, because right now the bombardments are continuous, and we are now at 57 days with all humanitarian and private sector, just commercial aid, being blocked.
I mentioned the ICJ, those hearings beginning this morning, and we might have a clip now of Irish lawyer Bliana Grawley, who was speaking at the ICJ this morning about the lack of supplies in Gaza at the moment.
As of late 2024, the UN had already assessed that local water and food production in Gaza, crops, olive tree orchards, fishing, cattle and poultry farms, had been all but destroyed, as had been essential services, including electricity, water and sewerage, alongside the destruction of bakeries, shops and trade. And now, no fuel, no medicine, no food, no water. Nothing has been permitted by Israel to enter Gaza for 57 days. 3 days ago, on Friday, the UN World Food Programme announced that it had now, I quote, depleted all its food stocks in Gaza. Widespread malnutrition, rampant infectious diseases, alongside untreated conditions and the severe mental impact of Israel's assault on Gaza, together with its systematic destruction of 95% of Gaza's hospitals and maternity clinics, and its killing of so many of Gaza's medical experts, will impact Palestinians for generations. This is not just about Gaza's present, but about its very future.
Bliana Grawley there outlining the very bleak situation in Gaza as well, James, at the moment. There have been blockades in the past. Is this the worst that you've seen it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a good question, Sarah. I used to constantly get asked, even when I was on the ground in Gaza, how is it now? And it was always worse day after day, unless there was a ceasefire, and there wasn't a single ceasefire in 2024. And it was always worse just simply because people's coping capacity, because every single night, and it's normally night, there is a reason why the largest portion of children killed are 2 to 5 year olds. Okay, the horrible reality there is that when bombs hit at midnight, at 2 a.m., children over 5 or 6 can run. children under two get picked up in their parents' arms, and that other age bracket, 2 to 5, are most likely caught in whatever horror show is going on. So, yes, that has continued, but we haven't seen a single drop, as your lawmaker or politician said just then. Food, water, medicines, everything for a child to survive has been blocked for the longest period. So, yes, so it's the longest blockade since the 7th of October, on top of one of the most ferocious levels of attack that is continuing day in, day out. I think what, Sarah, is really problematic when we sort of take a bigger picture here is that, you know, UNICEF, we've spent 60, 70 years advocating for the basic rights of children at the wrong end of justice. And for me, that's been a couple of decades in 100 countries. And that's simple things. It's clean water, it's a classroom, it's food, it's everything that a parent expects a child to get. In Gaza, it seems that we're needing to advocate, first and foremost, that children are, in fact, children. And that's deeply troubling, you know. And that's after a year and a half and this unprecedented portion of children being killed, now we're also looking at that ongoing and aid being denied, and the world, or at least those with power, still managing to look away. And that is, as I listened there to that, to the politician, that's why the horrors we're seeing in Gaza, they're setting a dark precedent for humanity, one where, you know, children are bombed at record numbers whilst they're seeking safety in classrooms. Trauma and loss have become normalised, and there's something really terrifying about that.
James, thank you for joining us on the programme this evening. That's James Elder, UNICEF spokesperson.